ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयम् करुणालयम् नमामि भगवत्पादशङ्करम् लोकशङ्करम् शङ्करम् शङ्कराचार्यम् केशवम् बादरायणम् सूत्रभूषौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः ॐ ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्तिभेदविभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्तदेहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ आप्यायन्तु ममाङ्गानि वाक्प्राणश्चक्षुश्रोत्रमथो बलमिन्द्रियाणि च सर्वाणि सर्वं ब्रह्मोपनिषदम् माहं ब्रह्म निराकुर्याम् मामा ब्रह्म निराकरोत् अनिराकरणमस्त्वनिराकरणम् मे अस्तु तदात्मनि निरतेय उपनिषत्सु धर्मास्ते मयि सन्तु ते मयि सन्तु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ केनेषितं पतति नेषितं पतति प्रेषितं मनः केनेषितं पतति प्रेषितं मनः केन प्राणः प्रथमः प्रैति युक्तः केन प्राणः प्रथमः प्रैतियुक्तः केनेषिताम् वाचमिमां वदन्ति चक्षुश्रोत्रम् कवो देवो युनक्ति चक्षुश्रोत्रम् क उ देवो युनक्ति सो हियर उपनिषद् बिगिन्स् विद् an opening mantra of questions. And here the student is asking, already with a clear understanding, this body is alive and active, conscious and sentient because of the presence of the sukshma, subtle aspects, physiological functions, mind, sense organs and organs of actions. But even those subtle aspects which indwell the gross body, indwell the sthula shariram, they are also material products. Not only this gross physical body is the material product, even the subtle aspects, imperceptible in the subtle aspects which indwell the gross body, because of the presence of which this gross body is active and functional, and even those subtle aspects are also objects of knowledge, they are also material products. How do we know it is material product? They are objects. For something to understand, something is of material, material product. Something is the product of matter. How to understand? If it is known, if it is object of knowledge, it is matter. Anything which is an object of knowledge is matter. Once it is matter, it is inert. If it is inert, it is subject to change. The subject to change means it comes and goes. And then it has attributes. That's why I said, you have to remember this. Everything is object. And here, what is that said to be here? Even the mind. That is why he asks this question, Kena Preshitam, Kena Ishitam Preshitam Manaha Patati. The mind, the subtle, inexplicably subtle mind, we cannot describe how, what the mind is, but still mind is known to us. This mind, because the three states of experience are also known to us, and this mind definitely is matter. Why? The fact it is known. How do you say it is known? Because it undergoes changes, three states of mind. If it doesn't undergo change, how do we know that it undergoes change? Because the fact we know the three states of experience, because the mind undergoes changes. It is known. It means this matter. And this mind, what functions? And it functions, it is capable of in making sense organs function. It is capable of making other organs of actions function. And through the sense organs, it is capable of even contacting the external objects. The mind can land upon objects and illumines the objects. Mind enjoys the status of being the illuminator. Mind has the status. What status? The illuminator status. Mind has the status of being the Devaha. Deva Devaha. Mind, how is it possible for this inert material mind to be functional, to be alive, to be sentient, to be conscious, and to be capable of any making other sense powers functional? And how is it possible for the mind to reach out and fall upon objects through sense organs and illuminating all of them? How is it possible? Kena. There must be something beyond the mind, distinct from the mind. Until mind is known, what is there unknowably? What is there unknowably? No, there's something beyond the mind, which is distinct from the mind, because of the presence of which the mind is capable of functioning. In fact, because of the presence of which mind is even capable of existing. The mind cannot even exist. First of all, mind, for its existence, there must be something which lends existence to the mind. There's something because of the presence of which mind is capable of functioning. And the, what is kene eeshitam preshitam manaha patati. And not only that, and kena pranaha praiti yuktaha. This one prana, one vital air, which is also inert material product and which is capable of moving, prayuktaha, praiti, being united, no, it is functioning and all systems are functional because of which life is possible, life of a being is possible. What is the kena yuktaha pranaha prathamaha pranaha praiti? Question number 2. Question number 3. Kena ishitam vacham imam vadanti. Impelled by what these people are able to speak, utter these words. Means words come out, words are expressions. And for these words to come out, for organ of speech to be functional, what enables this inert organ of speech function? Chakshuhu shrotram kavu devo yunakti. All these sense powers, chakshu shrotram too are mentioned. We understand all these subtle powers of organs of knowledge. Who is the effulgent being? Who is the conscious principle? What is the conscious principle which is distinct from, which cannot be enough? There must be something. There is something. But I do not know what it is. I can only infer there is something. The student's intelligence takes him to that extent. There is something. There must be something which is distinct from the all these subtle, amazing subtle aspects. And it must be a subject of knowledge. Why? Because it is not object of knowledge. It is not available for objectification. If it is available for objectification, then it would have been one among the other aspects which are already known. It is not subject because it is not under the category of the objects. What is already known to me. And it must be a conscious principle, because known are all material products. It must be attributeless, because all the known have attributes. It must be changeless, because the known material products are subject to change. It must be timeless, because everything known is not subject to time. So what is that? He's 100% sure there is something which is distinct. But what is that? Okay, that's the question. Now we'll read the answer, teacher's answer. And the Shankara says, evam sishyaha prishtavan. This is what the student asked. Evam prishtavate yogyaya aha guruhu. The guru answered to the student who was yogyaha. Yogyaha means what? Who deserved the answer. You know the meaning of the word sishyaha? Sishyaha, the many words which mean the student. Chhatraha means student. Antevasi means resident student. Not hostelite, okay? Not a day scholar. Antevasi. There's another word, no, sishyaha. It is mentioned, who is a sishyaha? Sishyaha itself means a disciple. The word English word disciple also itself means what? A disciplined. Studious is student. Disciplined is disciple. Like that we have Sishyaha, Siksha Yogyaha. So Shankaracharya says, Prishtavate Yogyaya Aha Guruhu. Is Yogyaha means what? One who deserves the teaching. Many people can come and join the course, somehow manage to get admission in school, college. But how many of them really deserve the teaching? No? The Sishyaha is the one who deserves the teaching. He is Yogyaha. Such a student is him, and the teacher gives an answer. Look at the answer now. Shrotrasya Shrotram.
Shrotrasya Shrotram.
Shrotrasya Shrotram.
Shrotrasya Shrotram.
Manaso Manaha.
Manaso Manaha.
Manaso Manaha.
Manaso Manaha.
Yadvachoha Vacham.
Yad vachoha vacham.
Yad vachoha vacham. Sa u.
Sa u.
Pranasya pranaha.
Pranasya pranaha.
Pranasya pranaha.
Pranasya pranaha.
Chakshushas chakshuhu.
Chakshushas chakshuhu.
Chakshushas chakshuhu.
Chakshushas chakshuhu.
Atimuchya dhirah.
Atimuchya dhirah.
Pretyasmalokat.
Pretyasmalokat.
Amrita bhavanti.
Amrita bhavanti.
Atimuchya dhirah.
Atimuchya dhirah.
Pretyasmalokad.
Pretyasmalokad.
Amrita bhavanti.
Amrita bhavanti.
Shrotrasya Shrotram.
Shrotrasya Shrotram.
Manaso Manaha.
Manaso Manaha.
Yad Vachoha Vacham.
Yad Vachoha Vacham.
Savu.
Savu.
Pranasya Pranaha.
Pranasya Pranaha.
Chakshushas Chakshuhu.
Chakshushas Chakshuhu.
Atimuchya Dhirah.
Atimuchya Dhirah.
Pretyasmalokat.
Pretyasmalokat.
Amrita Bhavanti.
Amrita Bhavanti.
Here the teacher gives an answer. Do you want to know what is that which makes, because of the presence of which, or willed by whom mind functions, sense organs function, organs of actions function, physiological functions are happening, and because of which even the physical body is alive and active? Do you want to know what is that? So here the teacher gives an answer. Shrotrasya Shrotram. That conscious being, that conscious principle which you want to know is actually the ear of the ear. Shrotrasya Shrotram. Ear of the ear. Manaso Manaha. Mind of the mind. Yad Vachoha Vacham. Even speech of the speech. Sa u, very important sa u, okay? Pranasya pranaha. Prana of the prana. Life of the life. Chakshushaha chakshuhu, eye of the eye. Answer is finished. Answer for the question is over. Now, if you discover that, you discover that conscious principle which you want to know, which is the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, mind of the mind, speech of the speech, then what happens? He gives the benefit. This the until now, chakshushas chakshuhu, until then, the mantra reveals the swarupam of the Atma. Atma swarupam mantraha bodhayati. Then atimuchya dhiraha. Now people who know, who have this knowledge, people who know that conscious principle which is distinct, just beyond this sukshma mind, and those people who know, they are dhiraha. Those qualified to know, those who know, and those people atimuchya, atimuchya pretya asmat lokat pretya amrutaha bhavanti. That atimuchya onwards, vidya phalam, atma swarupa jnana phalam, the result of benefit of knowledge is mentioned. Benefit of knowledge. Atma swarupam is discussed until chakshushas chakshuhu. Afterwards, atimuchya dhiraha pretyasma loka amrita bhavanti, that sentence reveals the benefit of Atma Swarupa Jnanam, benefit of the knowledge of the nature of the self. Benefit, palam. I already said this morning, it's a tiny mantra packed with big lot of information. So here, when it is said shrotrasya shrotram, ear of the ear, is what does it mean? Ear of the ear means this conscious principle is that, conscious being is that, which is not non-material, a spiritual being, non-material spirit, non-material conscious principle is that because of which the ear is capable of functioning as ear. Therefore, he calls it ear of the ear. Shrotrasya shrotram. It means without the presence of that consciousness principle, the ear, the power of hearing cannot even exist. And where's the question of functioning as an ear? So existence of the power of hearing and the functioning of the power of hearing, functioning as an ear, as an instrument of hearing, is possible because of the presence of the Atma. Consciousness principle implied by the term Atma. Then he says, we have to think of other things. Chakshushaha chakshuhu. Because shrotram is hearing power. And chakshushaha chakshuhu, again it is this consciousness principle which is the eye of the eye. Because of the presence of which even the seeing power exists, enjoys existence. Without the consciousness principle, even something called power of seeing cannot even exist. But there is no question of it being capable of functioning as seeing power. the function of seeing will be impossible without the presence of consciousness principle. Therefore, that is implied by this expression, Chakshushaha Chakshuhu. Eye of the eye is that which enables the eye function as eye. Ear of the ear is that which enables the ear function as ear. Like that, we must extend it to all sense powers. It is this consciousness principle because of which the power of smelling, even the two are mentioned, we have to extend it to all other five sense powers. Each and every sense, even the power of smelling, enjoys existence, and even though it is inert power, it becomes conscious, it becomes sentient, it is capable of functioning as power of smelling. The function of smelling is possible because of the blessing of consciousness principle. We have to extend it to even the sense of touch is possible because of this consciousness principle, which means all the five sense powers are capable of functioning because they're able to exist. They're existent. They enjoy existence. They become conscious, they become sentient, they're capable of functioning because of the blessing of consciousness principle. Now here, we have to understand, each sense power is different from every other sense power. Power of hearing, power of smelling, each indriyam is capable of illumining its own corresponding object. Therefore, all these powers are variables. Different. Sense powers are different from each other. The variable powers. So, the variables are uncommon. Asadharanam. Understand the technical expression. Asadharanam. Asadharanam means what? They are not common. Uncommon. By hearing power can illumine only its object called sound. The seeing power can illumine only the object called form and light. The power of smelling can illumine only its own corresponding object called fragrance or smell. So the power of taste can illumine only the taste. Each sense power differs from every other sense. Every sense power is different from every other sense power because they have their own corresponding objects. Therefore, they are not common. But what is common asadharanam? What is common asadharanam in all of them? Say mind. Mind. Why? Associated with the mind, backed by mind, illumined by mind, being lent consciousness and sentiency by the mind, each sense power functions. Therefore, it is possible for us to understand at this stage, eye of the eye is the mind. Ear of the ear is the mind. Asadharanam is mind. Sadharanam is sense organ. Which means what is uncommon? What is, every sense power is associated with its own specific function because it illumines its own specific object. They're all uncommon, they're variables. So what is it which enables the sense power function as sense power? It is the mind. So mind is common. Mind is asadharanam because what it makes the sense power, each sense power function is mind. Therefore, eye of the eye is the mind, ear of the ear is the mind, even power of smelling, is actually the mind. See, what makes each sense power function, exist, function is the mind. Is it clear? Powers are very subtle, no doubt. They're capable of illumining the external objects. In fact, the whole world shines after the sense powers. Sense powers are the lights directly illumining the world. Indriyani paranyahu. The sense organs are superior to the world. Why? The world is dependent on sense powers to be illumined, to come to light, thereby to enjoy the status of being existent. The world cannot have the status of being existent. The world will lose its status of existent if the world obtaining in the form of fivefold objects is not illumined by the sense powers. Sense powers are the lights. So, indriyani paranyahu. But indriyebhya parammanaha, what is superior to the mind? The sense organs is the mind. Indriyebhya parammanaha. Manasastu para buddhihi, buddhehe paratastu saha. Indriyani paranyahu, indriyebhya parammanaha. Manasastu para buddhihi, yo buddhe paratastu saha. Isn't it? The sense organs. Therefore, it is possible for us to say the sense organs are asadharanam, because they are uncommon. But we can say mind is sadharanam. Sadharana means what? Mind is common, because one thing which enables, which is linked to all five sense powers. All of them are functioning because being backed by the conscious, sentient mind. But again, the same enquiry, when we stretch further, when we move on. Even though the mantra presents shrotrasya shrotram first, then the next word comes manasaha manaha. We are taking first shrotrasya shrotram, chakshushaha chakshuhu. We also take what? We can take even vachauha vachau. Isn't it? And what is that? Even all five powers of organs of actions. You know, even though only one power of organ of speech is mentioned, we have to take all five powers of organs of actions. The hands are active because of the blessing of the power obtaining in the hands. The physical legs are moving because of the blessing of power in the legs. The reproductive organ, excretory organ, all these organs are active because of the blessing of the powers. In fact, speech is the most important action for us. One of the important actions is speaking. Because communication, that's why the only one action function is mentioned here. Vachoha vacham. Speech of the speech is mentioned here. Even the organ of speech is capable of functioning. The words can be expressed, ideas can be communicated because of the blessing of the mind. Conscious, sentient mind. The mind, we know very well, the mind is not functioning. All thoughts are resolved. No organ of even action can be functional. Which means, we can say, all these variables are asadharana. But what is sadharanam? What is common? Asadharana means, in this context, the sadharanam, asadharana means, it is ordinary, little meaning. But here it means common, uncommon. But when we go to the next step, when you see the mind also is not sadharanam. Mind also is asadharanam. Mind also is not common. Mind also is uncommon. Why it is uncommon? Because mind obtaining in every individual being is different from the mind obtaining other person. Mind obtained one person is different from the mind obtaining other person. There are many minds. Like how sense organs are many, minds are many. From the standpoint of sense organs obtaining in one individual, mind seems to be uncommon, but even the mind becomes what? The mind seems to be common, but even the standpoint of we see all the individuals, minds are also many. Isn't it? Every mind is different from every other mind. So minds are also asadharanam. I mean, they're not common, they're uncommon. Is it clear? Get the point? When you say uncommon means they're different minds. Therefore, mind is only from the standpoint of sense organs you can say that. But again, mind also what? Uncommon, not common, which means even the mind is not in one state. Mind undergoes changes. There is a time deep sleep state, there is a time waking state, there is a time dream state, which means there is no common, isn't it? Therefore, mind also is not common. There is something which is common. No, which is what is one thing? That is that consciousness principle. So here, manasaha manaha and pranasya pranaha. Pranasya pranaha. So it is this consciousness principle because of which life itself is possible. All functions are happening. We say functions are happening means first of all existence. Pranas cannot even enjoy existence without the presence of consciousness principle. By its mere presence it lends existence. Thereby it lends consciousness, it lends sentiency, thereby it enables them all function. Without doing anything, it enables everything function. Okay, this is the answer given. So, shrotrasya shrotram, manaso manaha, yadvachoha vacham, sa upranasya pranaha chakshushaha chakshuhu. Now what I have left here? Sa u. Sa u. Until now, half the mantra I left sa u. And the sa u is very important. The sa u alone is clearly substantiating the fact. The sa u, this expression, is substantiating a very subtle fact. What is that? The ear of the ear, eye of the eye. When you take the one shrotrasya is what? In sixth case. Shrotram is in nominative case. Chakshushaha, possessive case. Chakshuhu in nominative case. Which means what is in possessive case, you know, is uncommon, and what is nominative case is common. So see, ear of the ear, eye of the eye, mind of the mind, prana of the prana, that is all one. The sa-u, saha-u, that the consciousness principle implied by the term atma is only reality. Only reality, which is the eye of the eye, ear of the ear, nose of the nose, you cannot, prana of the prana, speech of the speech, is only reality. They are not many. So even mind of the mind is only reality. So that savu is very carefully substantiating this fact of oneness of the consciousness principle, which alone is the one common vastu behind all the uncommon factors. Which means in all the variable functions, variable states of mind, variable activities, what is invariably present is this consciousness principle. I'm taking you step by step. Hope you're all with me. So, savu, which means the teacher wants the student to understand he need not go in search of that consciousness principle anywhere. Suppose here the question may come, why is this teacher making it so complicated? Morning already our Gyaneshwari asked, why is this teacher giving a complicated answer? Why can't he directly tell that consciousness principle, that conscious being which activates everything is Atma? And you know, if the teacher said, why he did not say? Because immediately there will be desire for self-realization. Because it is natural for they would like to realize this consciousness principle. People are not that satisfied with that one expression, recognition or knowledge. And they will, what will they think? Once they think that they want to realize the self, realize the Atma, and they will think realization means some experience of some bliss. Realization is mistaken for experience of bliss. And this experience of bliss is also known by another term for them. Other term also they use, that is enlightenment. So enlightenment, realization, experience of bliss, all these will confuse an individual. The teacher does not want to give this direct answer. It's very important teaching. When the teacher says this, let me tell you now. See, all these instruments of actions, instruments of knowledge are functional because they are conscious and sentient. They are not inert. Inert powers become conscious and sentient powers. And first of all, they enjoy the status of being existent. Then they become functional also. Which means, what he says, how can there be function of seeing, hearing, etc. is possible without the seer, hearer? Actually, what he wants the student understand is that without whose presence the power, the function of seeing is not possible. That is the seer. The presence of seer enables the function of seeing possible. The presence of hearer enables the function of hearing possible. The function of any sense organ is possible because there must be the subject involved in that function. Hearer, seer, thinker, knower. It can be extended even to the powers of organs of actions. What about the power of activities? Somebody is walking. The function, action of walking, action of talking, action of eating, action of jumping, running, all these activities are possible because there must be the person who is involved in that action. The person must be there. It is this person who is involved in all these actions and functions, without whose presence these actions and functions are not possible. That actor, walker, talker, seer, hearer, thinker is one and the only reality, which is the consciousness principle implied by the term Atma. This is what is implied. So, Shrotrasya Shrotram, ear of the ear, means it is the hearer. Hearer is the ear of the ear. Seer is the eye of the eye. The one who smells is the power. One who smells. The knower the thinker is the mind of the mind. The knower is the intellect of the intellect. Is it clear? Now the question comes, and who is this knower, thinker, hearer? Who is this thinker? Who is the knower? Who is the seer? Who is the hearer? The subject of every function, the subject involved in every action, who is this? Okay, that hearer, smeller, the invariable, is it, functions in all are essential. As it is one common consciousness principle, which is Atma. And here it will help the student to understand. He is a very brilliant student. He has to resolve this I. Now, the hearer I am, the seer I am, the thinker I am, the knower I am, means understood, and is therefore the consciousness principle. There is no hearer, there is no thinker, there is no seer other than the consciousness principle. And consciousness being is one reality, only reality, which is implied by the term Atma. Therefore, it is not an object, is very clear. It is the very swarupam of the subject. Okay? That which enables the ear function as an ear is the hearer. Without the hearer, there cannot be function of hearing. Without the seer, there cannot be function of seeing. Is it clear? And who is the seer, hearer? Subject involved in every function. And the subject involved in every function is I. This a student can make out. See, this teacher must be continuously talking, and the student, without objectification, the student must understand. Without objectification, the student must understand. As the teacher is unfolding, the student must understand without objectification. This is one of the reasons why he did not give the direct answer. Suppose if the teacher says, it is consciousness principle, Atma. Consciousness, if we, the student hears the word first. The teacher is very careful. He did not say chit chat satchidana, nothing. Shotrasya shotram, manaso manaha, vachoha vacham. He did not give direct answer because, if at all he give a direct answer, what would he understand? Consciousness is different from everything. Consciousness is different from all other things. Different from all the powers. Different from the mind. Different from everything else. Means, how many things are in the world? There are many, 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 many things. And consciousness is different thing. Okay? Consciousness is one of the many, many, many things different from everything else. Got the point? The teacher directly gave the expression. It is consciousness, Atma. There are many things. Consciousness is different from everything else means, okay, book is different from table, table is different from mic, everything is different from everything else. There are so many things here, varieties of things, and consciousness is one of the objects, different from other objects. You will search for the word. Mic, immediately the word connects me to the meaning. Table, the word immediately connects me to that object, table. Flower, window, door, wall, light, tree, man, woman. Every word directly, immediately connects me to that corresponding meaning, object, consciousness. What does the word connect you with? Even if you don't see, I simply say mango. Flower, tree, star, ship, boat, sky, blue color. When I say every word immediately, are all with me? Immediately the word connects you, takes you to a given object. The mind is capable of conceiving, cognizing the object connected with the word, associated with the word. Isn't it true? Consciousness. What does the word connect you with? That's why it's called inconceivable. Okay? That is why consciousness is said to be beyond words. It cannot be described by words. Words cannot describe consciousness. No word can reveal consciousness. And consciousness is beyond words. That's why it is said. Therefore, suppose if the teacher utters the word consciousness instead of, see, I'm telling you something very subtle. Why he did not say consciousness principle is Atma, that's you, didn't even say that. The student has to land on, stumble upon the consciousness as his own Swarupa. The teacher must be talking. But how should he, without objectifying the consciousness, objectify it. Is it clear? That's why there are so many things are there. and consciousness is one of the objects which I do not know. Therefore, I should search for it. Such a doubt should not happen. In fact, so he says, when if a teacher says eye of the eye, ear of the ear, etc., what it means is, how can there be function without the person involved in the function? How can there be driving, the act of driving without the driver? How can there be the action of eating without the person who is eating? All these dharmas must associate with the dharmi. There must be. How can there be thinking without the thinker? How can there be knowing without the knower? How can there be knowledge without the knower? How can there be seeing without the seer? Which means, therefore, the seer, hearer is the eye of the eye, ear of the ear. The student is supposed to understand, yes, I, the hearer, am the ear of the ear. I, the seer, am the eye of the eye. I, the thinker, am the mind of the mind. Has to understand. Then he has to see, it is that consciousness principle. I, the Atma, am consciousness. He has to gradually arrive at it. Which means, he resolves I in consciousness cognitively. He has to resolve I in consciousness. And this consciousness, even the mind of the mind, means it is this consciousness which is even distinct from all the minds also, and which is the Atma, which is implied with the term Atma, and I am that consciousness Atma. Now, this mantra actually unfolds the Pratyagatma Swarupam. What is Pratyagatma? It is Tvampada Lakshyartha. It is the implied meaning of the word Tvam. When you say Pratyagatma, Pratyagatma means what? Innermost essence of every being. Innermost self of every being is Pratyagatma. What is Pratyagatma? Innermost essence, innermost self of every being is Pratyagatma. It is not complete. He understands the truth being one's own self. And here, if this consciousness is the truth of I, and it is this consciousness common in all uncommon factors, in all the variable functions. There is no seeing without consciousness. There is no hearing without consciousness. There is no thinking without consciousness means. There is no knowing without consciousness. Now tell me, consciousness is ever present. Is ever present. Consciousness is existence of all functions, and consciousness is invariably present in all the variable functions. You are seeing, you are hearing, you are thinking, you are walking, you are talking. Tell me, which fraction of second consciousness is not? Must see right now. which fraction of second, in which function it is not involved. It is existence of everything, in fact, the consciousness of everything. In fact, we have to say, existence of everything is existence of consciousness. If you say form is, means form consciousness is, form knowledge is. Light is means light knowledge is. Isn't it? Light is means light knowledge is. Sound is means sound knowledge is. Smell is. Fragrance is means fragrance knowledge is. We can change it. Fragrance consciousness is. Thinking is means thinking consciousness is. So existence presupposes knowledge, consciousness. Therefore, consciousness, the teacher here, the author here wants us to understand at two levels. This consciousness is of existence of everything. It also lends consciousness, sentience to everything. In all the variable functions, the functions are different. In every function, what is invariably present is consciousness. And that invariably present consciousness is I. As the seer I am, as the hearer I am, as the thinker I am, now you must see with me, as I am in all the functions, as the thinker I am with the mind, as the knower I am with the intellect, as the seer I am with the sense organ, as the hearer I am with the, and I am this, hearing power. As the walker, I am with my power of organ of action. As the eater, I am with, as a runner, as I am with my feet. Means, so I am with everything. I am in all actions. I am in all functions. Do you see this? I am with all functions. I am with all activities. I am in all activities, all functions. Is it clear? I am in all functions, all activities. And how are they? They are all varied, variable functions, variable actions. Isn't it? And varied powers in all of them. What is invariable is I. And that I, when you are hearing, you are also seeing. You are hearing what I am talking, even though you are a little sleepy, still you are listening, you are hearing, and you are seeing, you are looking at me. Understand? So who is the seer? Who is the hearer? Simultaneously, seer and hearer is you. Two different functions, but you are there as the hearer, as the seer. Similarly, you are in all variable functions, you are present. That's why invariable presence of consciousness is unavoidable. Okay? The invariably present is consciousness in all functions, in all actions. Who is that? You. In fact, by giving an indirect answer, the teacher expects the student to understand that I am consciousness principle, the Atma. one invariable in all the variables. That is why sadharanam, common factor in all the uncommon factors. Now, the teacher tells, is it clear or not? In fact, in this context, usually anybody will remind you one important verse from Dakshinamurti Stotra, one mantra from Kathopanishad, and also one line from Dakshinamurti Stotra. You all would have heard it. Nana chidra ghatodara sthita mahadeepa prabhabhaswaram jnanam yasya tu chakshuradikarana dvara bhaispandate. The class, when Swamiji was teaching, I was listening, Swami is vivid. I'm just reproducing what he said. Very vivid for me. Even the style he was presenting this shloka, vivid, vivid for me. Nana chidra ghatodara sthita mahadeepa prabhabhaswaram jnanam yasya tu chakshuradikarana dvara bahispandate. Now, ghataha is a pot. Dana chidra, chidra ghata udaram. The udaram means a tummy, okay, belly of the pot, and has some holes. And we, let us take this body is like a pot. It has five holes. The Navadwara is different hole, okay. Here we take the five sense organs as five holes. And the pot has, imagine pot has five holes. And inside the pot, for our puja, Narayani arranged a nice puja and she arranged some pot there. Holy pot, okay. H-O-L-Y pot, holy. That's a pot with holes. She keeps a pot. And inside she arranged, puts one lamp and the light. There's one flame. Only one flame of fire. And what happened? The beams of light originating from that flame. And it looks, the beam of light needs a hole. Like how can it go out? If the place covered means the light will be only inside. Isn't lamp inside the unholy part? But the holeless part cannot go out. The lamp put inside the pot, which doesn't have holes, poor light cannot go out. But here, this pot has five holes, and through the five holes, the beams of light travel through those holes. And each beam of light illumines whatever object falls in its way. Got it? Got the idea? Each beam of light illumines the objects falling in its way. Similarly, but the beams of rays of light, beams of light are five, and going out through five different holes of five sense organs, corresponding the objects which fall within their range, of form, sound, color, taste, etc., touch, etc. But how many lamps are inside? The light behind the mind is consciousness. Isn't it? What is behind the mind is consciousness. Next question comes, what is behind consciousness? We want to know what is behind consciousness. What is behind consciousness? Nothing. Nothing is behind consciousness. behind the sense organs mind, behind the mind is consciousness, and behind consciousness nothing is. Consciousness is beyond everything means what? Distinct from everything. When I say distinct, what is implied is, when consciousness is invariably present in all functions, all actions. No? How is it? The way as manifesting as I, it is present in everything. Present in everything. There is nothing beyond consciousness. And you are consciousness. Not inside, outside. First of all, Pratyegatma Swarupa must be very clear. It becomes very clear, here itself is what? When you say behind all minds also, even minds are also variables. And what is asadharanam? What is sadharanam behind asadharanam? What is the variable minds? What is one invariable thing? It is Atma. Means you have already understood what? Jiva Ishvara Swarupa Aikyam. The truth of all the minds is one and the same. Your Swarupam is consciousness. You are essentially consciousness. If you go and search for the seer, hearer, thinker, the subject involved in every function, there you cannot find a thinker, you cannot find a knower, you cannot find seer, hearer. So many different names are attributed to one and the only person, I. How many I's are there? You are the only person. From the standpoint of mind, you are given the name thinker. The standpoint of pranas, you are given the name differently. The standpoint of sense organs, you are given the name hearer, seer, etc. Different function, variable names are attributed to you. You are the only person. And who is this one invariably present simultaneously in all the functions? When are you not with the functions? Tell me. When are you not with any of the functions? As a thinker, you are with, when are you not with your mind? When are you not with your eyes as a seer? You are always with all functions, all actions. And that you, even though different names are given as thinker, thought, etc., all of them are you. And that you, essentially, you are the consciousness principle. You are the Atma. Therefore, the innermost self of every being, your innermost self is formless, abstract reality, consciousness. The teacher takes you from all these objects, all these functions, all these powers, all this mind to your own self. Instead of saying you are that, he makes you think, who is the eye of the eye? Who is the ear of the ear? What is the mind of the mind? How can there be function without the thinker, knower, seer, hearer? You must end up saying the thinker is the mind of the mind. Knower is the intellect of the intellect. Hearer is the eye of the eye. Who enables that function is the hearer, seer, etc. And that hearer, seer, etc., subject of function, subject of actions is you, and you are Atma. Okay? You are. As pure as consciousness principle, you are there in every state of mind, every state of experience, in every action, everything. In future, in following verses, you are going to see, we're going to come across much more. A beautiful verse are going to come where much will become much clearer, because these mantras are going to be elaborated later on. The fact must be, you are must be convinced of the fact right now, here itself, not afterwards. Now I'm only simply hearing, I still have a doubt. Who still has his doubt? Please tell me. Who still has his doubt here? Here, I is an expression. Word presupposes knowledge. I has to be resolved in consciousness principle. I will be resolved. I has to be resolved, because there is no other substance of this substantive I. Where can you resolve I? You've already, the student's very question itself is very clear. He already says, the students, the question itself is very clear. He already says, mind, sense organs, everything is objects of knowledge for him. He's very clear about it. Very, very clear. Everything is objects of knowledge means, and he only understands they're all material products. They're all inert. How can they become sentient and conscious? How can they become functional? There must be something distinct from all of them. What enables these functions and actions possible? Enables them function, act. What is that? That's the question. The teacher doesn't say, you are consciousness. He did not say that. Even different answer. Or he did not even use the term consciousness. It is consciousness. He may go and search for consciousness as one of the many things, like table, chair, car. Okay. I do not know what consciousness is. Let me go and search for it. No. He has to see that consciousness being the meaning of the word I. Table, tree, word comes, consciousness, I. You know, not I. I means consciousness. Consciousness is not I, but I is consciousness. Consciousness is not knower. Consciousness is not thinker. Consciousness is not any of the powers. Consciousness is not the body, not the mind, not anything. Consciousness is not the thinker, seer, hearer. But who else is the thinker? There is no thinker, hearer, seer other than consciousness. And you reduce all those statuses, reduce to one I, and you have to say, you are consciousness. You are consciousness principle. What is the meaning of this word I? Consciousness. You cannot resolve I anywhere else. You can't place I in, of course, you know, no body, no mind, no sense organs, no power, no function, no action, no prana. Everywhere you have to shift the I sense from everywhere. Finally, you have to resolve it only in consciousness. Okay? This is what Pratyagatma Swarupam. Now next, the teacher says, Atimuchya
Atimuchya
Dhiraha
Dhiraha
Pretya asmat
lokat
amritaha bhavanti. You may think so many times one thing has been repeated and emphasized. Every time I said something, I meant you were seeing what I was saying. Okay, here, now, dhiraha. Dhiraha literally means brave people. But here in the Upanishad context, the real brave people are mature people. Mature people are really brave people. Immature people are not brave people. Okay, mature people are brave people. If you want to be brave, bold and courageous, better become mature. Mature individuals. And who is mature here again? Wise person. Who is the wise person? Who has discovered this truth? The mind of the mind in all the variable minds, in all the variable sense powers, in all the variable functions, in all the variable actions, in all the variable things, the invariable presence is consciousness, and it is this consciousness principle is implied by the term Atma, and I am consciousness Atma. The person who has discovered that the one's own Swarupam, Pratyagatma Swarupam, the person who has discovered the reality obtaining as the innermost self, Pratyagatmataya, one who has discovered, that person is Dhiraha. Otherwise, some people who say, the person who is qualified also is said to be Dhiraha, but here Jnani, one who has understood the self. The wise people, once they discover the fact, after discovering the fact, I am consciousness Atma. Okay, eye of the eye, ear of the ear, I am that Atma, the consciousness was discovered. Immediately what happens? Atimuchya. This Atimuchya implies they free themselves from all wrong notions they have about themselves. Okay? Seeing the self being free from all notions is Atimuchya, implied by the word Atimuchya. The wise person frees himself, sees the fact of the self, Atma, the consciousness, one's real nature being free from all wrong notions. Now, all these days when he had identity with the body, mind, his complex, he had all wrong notions. Now, because he sees very clearly, I am this truth, and all the wrong notions have gone from him. Atimuchya means releasing himself from the hold of wrong notions. Atimuchya means what? Releasing himself from the hold of wrong notions. Wise people, asmat lokat pretya. Again, lokaha here means the body also here. Asmat lokat pretya means being object, becoming objective towards their own body, mind, sense complex. Having identity with Atma, they become immortal. What does it mean? Becoming immortal means they understand their innermost self is Atma, and Atma is immortal reality. Understanding the self being immortal reality is attainment of immortality, which means they become Jivan Muktaha. while living, they become free from bondage. So for you to be free while living, what do you need? Asmat lokat pretya. This is one meaning. Another meaning is, people say they become free while living, which means that atimuchas implies jivan mukti. Asmat lokat pretya implies videha mukti. Another meaning. Another meaning. After leaving this physical body, they attain immortality, means they attain videha muktihi. But actually speaking, the person who recognizes those people, brave, the wise people are the brave people who already free from the hold of wrong notions. Therefore, they become free while they are living here itself. And being objective towards their own body, mind, sense complex, even though they are endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, and being objective towards their body, mind, sense complex, they are free because they remain as immortal Atma. Remaining as immortal self is what? Freedom. Is because just the notions are resolved. So jnana phalam also is mentioned here. I have to say a few more things for this mantra. Atimuchya dhiraha pretya asman lokar amrutaha bhavanti. I'll come back and talk tomorrow. We'll continue because it's very important. Every mantra is important. And we'll see it. Now, I talked for 1.5 hours, but what is the core thing what you have to understand here? What important teaching you have to understand? The eye of the eye is that which enables the eye function as eye. So without the seer, the function of seeing is not possible. So eye of the eye is the seer. Okay? The thing is, they're all invariable, but it's a common thing. Is one and the only person. Isn't it? Functions are different, only one person. And that one person is you. And you are consciousness principle. Consciousness. Conscious being. Questions?
Indirectness of the answer regarding the Atmasarupa.
What did you start with?
The indirectness of the teacher, of the answer of the teacher. Is it similar to answering in the sense of who is asking the question? Raman Maharshi is to ask.
No. No, not at all. Not at all. This is an ingenious method of gradually helping the student see what he is really. Enabling the student see what he is essentially is different. Said you, I do not know. Suppose you simply ask the question, okay, without being taught, without being instructed. You simply ask the question. How many ever times you ask the question? How many ever times you ask the question? You can only understand what you are not. You can never arrive at what you are. You can definitely, the answer, asking the questions, what am I, definitely will help you understand what you are not. But it cannot help you arrive at what you are. That is where Shastra is important. Got the point? The thing is, see, first of all, understanding is in two levels. Because the samsara, the problem is because of the erroneous perception of the self. Means error, I mistake something else which I am not. I mistake myself for something which I am not. That is the problem here. So, if at all I ask questions, I ask the questions. Shastram does two things. Shastram, first of all, helps you understand what you are not. It is very important for a person to understand what I am not first. Only if you understand what you are not, when this methodology is used to help you understand what you are not, you really see the fact of yourself not knowing your own real nature, what you are. You are convinced of the fact that you are ignorant of yourself. You must be convinced of the fact that you are ignorant of yourself. Isn't it? Otherwise you will not make efforts to know what you are. And even for you to be convinced of the fact that you are ignorant of yourself, you must, there is a need for you to be, need for the Shastram to show you that how you are distinct from everything else. That's why the method of distinguishing the self from the non-self is used. So we understand what you are not first. Once you understand what you are not, then you understand your ignorance, you are ignorant of yourself, then you can understand what you are. Okay? So any enquiry, maximum it can take you to that extent. To understand what you are not, you may understand. That itself, some understanding happens, but still there is no completion. You cannot be convinced that what you are will not be. You know why? I'll tell you a secret. These eyes, we use to see everything else in the world. Light, all colors, all forms, everything we see through these eyes. Okay? And the eyes think one day. We see everything here. How do we look? These eyes want to see themselves. Both the eyes. And the poor eyes, they both cannot help each other. Isn't it? These eyes can see others' eyes. Let me see your eyes. No. We want to see ourselves. Each eye wants to see itself. What can the poor eye do? Why cannot eyes see themselves? Why? Give me the answer. Why the eyes cannot see themselves? Because seer can never become the seen. Is it clear? Seer can never become the seen. The seer has to be seen. Seer needs reflection. Oh, this is how I look. And bring one mirror in front of the eyes. And I see how they look. Then eyes can see, seer can see themselves through their reflection. Seer eyes can never become the seen. Eyes can never see the original eyes, you know. Eyes can see their reflections. Seeing the reflection, like this. Is it clear? Similarly, the mind can understand what I am not. By anchoring, what I am. But to know what you are, okay? When you have to know what you are here, please listen to me carefully. What is to be known by you is anything other than you, then you can use your eye sense organs. What is to be known is different from you, other than you, you can use your sense organs. You can use your mind, you can crush your intellect, you can think and you can think and think. You can know anything other than what you are. Okay? But to know what you are, to know you are the one to be known, and you are the knower, and you are the one to be known. You are the knower, subject of knowledge, and you are the object of knowledge also. And you have to be known. Okay? When you want to know your own sarupam, you are the knower, you are the one to be known. What is to be known is anything other than yourself, you can use anything else. You can crush your intellect. When you are the one to be known, you need another independent reflecting medium. Understand? Because the knower can never become the known. And here, Shastra's words serve as mirror which reflect your sarupam. When they are carefully unfolded, Shastra's words reflect your sarupam. Like this. They need to be unfolded. You simply read eye of the eye, hair of the eye, you can't understand anything. It's a way. Because it's not something first you are listening to this Upanishad first, what you have heard. And repeatedly listening, repeated listening. No, makes your mind subtle. What you heard in Isha, again you will be listening here. Nothing new. What you are listening, you are going to listen to other Upanishads also. Is it clear? Shatra's words serve as mirror which reflect your sarupam, and through the reflection of revealed sarupam, you can understand what you are, how you are. Does it make sense? Therefore, any enquiry independently without the Shastram. As a traditional teacher, I have to tell you this fact. I have great respect for all Mahatmas, about all their feet. I have no problem. But for me, as a traditional teacher, I should tell you the truth. I should speak for myself. Shastram is the pramanam. You need a means of knowledge. Because subject of knowledge can never become the object of knowledge. The knower can never become the known. Like a seer, eyes can never become the seen. The seer have to be seen. Seer can see. Seer, again, even if the eyes want to see themselves, in the mirror is brought, reflection is there. Who has to see? Who has to see? Seer is, oh. I have to see myself. Understand now? So mirror does not make you see. Mirror can only reflect your sarupam, and you are the seer of your own sarupam, your own reflection. The seer will always be you. Okay? Eyes will be the seer of their own reflections. The mirror cannot make the eyes see. Is it clear? Similarly, when you are the knower, you are the one to be known, no pramanam can be used. You need a different pramanam. Shastra's words serve as mirror. They reflect your sarupam when they are carefully unfolded. And you see your sarupam being reflected by the words of Shastra. And you are the knower, you understand. So without pramanam, how will it be? I'll tell you one more thing. Suppose the person who has very, very bright, clean, distortion, feverish vision. But he has to experiment something in his lab, minute microbes. Even though he has very distortion-free, very clear vision, still he cannot see. He needs the help of microscope. But microscope without his, suppose a blind man, what is the microscope? Will it be of any use? No use. Understand? So your intellect is important. Microscope is also important to see the microbes. Your eyes without microscope will be incomplete. inadequate. But you, without your eyes, microscope will be useless. Similarly, you see something very far from here, binocular you want to use. Without binocular, your eyes themselves are inadequate. But binocular without your eyes will be useless. Similarly, without your intellect, Shastram will be useless. But your intellect without Shastram will be inadequate. Is it clear? You are the knower. So you, the knower, can never become the known. And what is to be known is different from you, the knower. You can use all pramanams. You can use your intellect, you can use your mind, you can question, you can inquire, you can use all other intents. When the question of knowing your own surupam comes, you definitely need a pramanam, which will reflect your surupam. And you are the knower, you are going to see your own surupam. Not as an object, as your surupam. When you see your eyes see themselves in the mirror, they do not see something else, they see their own surupam, their own reflection. Like when you, Shastra's words, reflect your surupam, you are seeing your own surupam being reflected. Is it clear? Not an object. Therefore, complete is unfoldment. You are made to think. Is it clear? People wonder how this works. It is really an amazing, ingenious methodology. Because when you listen for the first time, without knowing Sanskrit words, it may sound a little difficult. Language is a very kindergarten language. The language used in the Upanishads here, very simple language. Shrotra, shrotram, ear after ear, eye after eye. Not big language here. A lot of unformative is important. So, what is made very clear is, you are Atma, the consciousness, because having different statuses, as seer, thinker, hearer, etc. Now all the variable qualifications, what is invariably present is you, the Atma, the consciousness. All the invariable functions, what is invariably present is the Atma, the consciousness. In which function, in which action, when, where, Atma, the consciousness, you are not present in your functions and actions. Can there be any action without you? There can't be any action or function without you. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harih Om Tat Sat Sri Gurubhyo Namaha Harih Om.